oppression. They're going after activists. They're targeting activists in different areas. And so what we see and we have to be aware of is that the police as an organized culture and force is going to respond to the threat of the abolishment of their livelihoods with, they're going to pivot. And they're going to be, some of them are going to be on some organized vigilante stuff, you know? And that's something we have to contend with. And it's scary and it sucks. But it's a problem that we're going to have to face. That I anticipate further retaliation and escalation of force as that arm of white supremacy, patriarchy, capitalism, protection of private property, putting the value of property over the lives of people, that is under threat, because the people know that we're tired of that being a threatening force against our lives. So in uprising and in rebellion, we're going to emerge with the desire to abolish that, the most radical among us. And we're going to have to organize. And in once, as we start to organize and move in that direction, they're going to respond.
And on that note, I think we're going to leave it. Thank you so much, Mike Frenchoff, for joining us today on KABU.
Thank you, Jenka.
This is Jenka Soderberg reporting for KABU Radio. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Good evening. You are listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. Transpositive uplifts the voices of transgender and non-binary people. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
And my name is Nicolette, and I use A and M pronouns.
And we're going to be talking tonight about the representation of transgender characters in the media. If you remember from our last show, we talked about transgender representation in the media from the 80s through the early 21st century. Nicolette, can you kind of remind us of like what we covered, you know, in the first part of the show?
Yeah, so... I know we had talked about some trans actors and actresses that have been getting a lot of representation lately.
We talked about some older representations of trans folks in the media, like in Trans America.
Yeah, Trans America, Boys Don't Cry. We talked a little bit about the positives and negatives of, you know, those movies. Those older representations. I know we also talked about The Danish Girl, which is more recent. And then, you know, I talked about some trans characters on TV that are played by trans actresses, like Nia Nall on Supergirl.
Right.
And Know Me on
Orange Sense. Is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black and yeah. American Horror Story. You know, they've got a couple of trans actors that are playing cis characters, which I think is very progressive and really shows that, you know, trans women are women, trans men are men. We are just as capable of playing those roles as cis people are.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so work that we're going to talk about tonight, is this research that you've done yourself?
Yeah, this is research that I did for this whole thing that we're talking about. Actually, is a paper that I wrote for my queer studies class that I just took this term, and I got my grades back today. I got 100% on this paper.
Congratulations. So. Well, let's start where we left off then. I think that when we were just finishing up the last...
I apologize if anyone can hear my cat meowing in the background, by the way. This is one of the difficulties of having to record at home.
Yes, for those who, if we do sound a little bit tinny, it's because we're missing our fabulous sound engineer, Somia, who usually does our show, our live show. We really miss you, Somia. Hope you're doing well. So we are recording at home on Zoom until COVID-19, until it's safe for us to use KBOO.
Mm-hmm. So where we last left off, let's see. I know we were talking about the Danish girl last. So now we are picking up on how transgender characters and issues are portrayed in fiction has a large effect on how viewers may see trans people. Wow, I had a typo in there. So anyway, yes, how transgender characters and issues are portrayed in fiction has a large effect on how viewers may see trans people. For example, there's an episode of the animated comedy American Dad in which the character Steve questions whether he's transgender because he enjoys hanging out with girls and dressing in feminine clothing. But in the end, he decides he's a boy because he enjoys having a penis. But this presents two problems. You know, the idea that dysphoria is required to be trans, which it's not, and the exclusion of the possibility that Steve could also be non-binary.
Right. Or he could be femme and just have that particular body part and still be a total femme.
Yeah, that too. Like, it excluded so many possibilities. And on one hand, I'm glad that they decided to tackle that issue, but I just wish they had handled it better.
When was it?
When did this air? I don't know. I think it was sometime in the past 2 or 3 years. But
that's recent.
Yeah, it is recent. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, just to even have a trans character, like, represented in... you know, something like that is just amazing because, like, I don't remember. I mean, when I was young, I don't remember any trans characters in any Saturday morning programming or cartoons or anything. The first time I saw a transgender person on television was an episode of The Jeffersons in, like, 1977. That was the first time I ever saw a transgender person on television.
Yeah, and you know, the main reason why I wrote this paper is because I have been seeing so many more trans characters and trans actors and actresses in recent media, and you know, there has been a lot of research about how there's been this huge increase in trans representation and trans visibility in the media, but you know, we're still having a lot of the same problems despite that. Oh, my partner looked up the air date for me. It was in 2015 that episode aired.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, where was I? Oh, another comedy, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, features a trans character named Carmen who appears in multiple episodes. And this character is played by... The character of Carmen is played by a cis actress, which does help to convey the fact that trans women are women. You know, that's what I like about it. But it also gives less visibility to trans actors. So there's positives and negatives to that, I think.
Like, how many trans actors were in that? It was just one?
No, the show that I'm talking about, there were no trans actors in it. There was a trans character, but she was played by a cis woman.
Oh, right.
So I figure, you know, at least she was played by a woman. And I do like the fact that having her played by a cis woman, mm-hmm. you know, it does portray that trans women are women. But yeah, on the other hand, maybe it would have also been helpful to have a trans woman cast in that role. So
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, regarding this character, the way they address her character too has both positives and negatives. In the first episode she appears in, one of the main characters, his name's Mac, he is attracted to her before finding out that she's trans. And
that's so true, yeah.
Yeah, and the other characters misgender her and even call her a derogatory slur used against trans women. Like, that's often how she's just kind of referred to as in the show. I am not going to say the slur in question.
I won't say it either, but I have to say that I don't really find it a slur. I actually really like the word, but I'm not going to say it either.
Yeah, to a lot of people, I know it's considered offensive.
It is to a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but either way, Mac, the character, he continues to be attracted to her and even refer to her as a woman, even after finding out that she's trans. So at first he accuses her of lying to him by not telling him right away that she was trans.
That's interesting.
And that's a stereotype that often leads to men assaulting trans women after finding out that they're trans, because mm-hmm. they believe that they've been deceived.
Yeah.
You know, like what happened to Jennifer Laud? She was a trans woman who was murdered by a man who felt that she was deceiving him by not like immediately telling him that she was trans.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's so true. It's like, I'm just the kind of person who, like, I'm going to think of my safety before I think of anything. But, you know, a lot of people are just like, you know, I'm a woman and I don't need to justify myself to anyone.
Exactly.
Which is, like, I really admire that.
Yeah, and it's like, are you supposed to, the second you meet someone, be like, hi, I'm trans? Like, that just doesn't make sense to
me. Exactly. So. I mean, a lot of trans people can pass really well. And so it's always a little bit of, it's always a little bit risky. I mean, until we live in a culture that, like, totally accepts people being fluid, it's going to be a little challenging. But
yeah.
I think Portland is pretty safe, though. I mean, I feel like Portland is pretty safe.
There is still a lot of violence in Portland, though, against trans people. But I think compared to a lot of other places, it is probably somewhat more safe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the episode at hand, the only time that Mac actually pretends to see Carmen as a man is after, like, he accidentally punches her in public, and these two guys are like, oh my god, that guy just hit that girl. And he goes, oh no, she's a man. And they're like,
oh no.
Yeah, then they're like, oh, that's a hate crime. And they start chasing him down.
That's so funny.
I'm like, if only it would work that way in real life.
Yeah, right.
The second episode where they show Carmen, it's, you know, the guys, Mac is dating her in secret and he's trying to hide it from his friends that he's dating her again. But his friends end up finding out and they're all disgusted and, you know, they're telling him that that's gross, which, you know, that's a very mean thing to say. That's, you know, they're insinuating that sex with a trans woman is gross.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. And, you know, that's not really the case. A lot of people like having sex with trans women.
So. Yeah. I mean, then some people are really into it. So it's like either people like really hate you or they're totally into you because you're a fetish. But what you're saying is like really just, it's so interesting because that's like the reality of it.
That is the reality of it, but, you know, it's a sad reality, and I wish that, you know, they hadn't said things like that in this show and, you know, further added to this whole idea that, oh, if you have sex with a trans person, that's gross. You know, it's probably not going to be gross. Maybe you should try it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. Yeah. But a lot of people, that's just, we have to do a whole show. Like, there's so many topics in your paper, Nicolette. We're going to have to do, like, a whole show about that. That whole issue like, you know, sex and trans folks. I'm not sure.
I know we have definitely talked about that a bit in past shows.
But yeah.
We have a whole show devoted to that topic.
We've done sex, love, and dating. And we've also done... But we've never done it from the perspective of, like, why do so many people feel so negatively about the idea of being intimate with a transgender person? You know, what does that say? What is that about?
Right.
That'll be a good show.
Let's plan to do a show on that. That sounds
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, there's at least a third episode that involves her. And in that one, what happens is Carmen, you know, she gets her gender confirmation surgery, and then she runs into Mac, but now she's married to another man, and so, you know, Mac's all angry and jealous because now she's with someone else, and he all of a sudden starts pretending to see her as a man in order to claim that she's in a gay marriage, and he wants to try and make gay marriage illegal so that he can break them up. What's funny is now all of a sudden his friends are seeing her as a girl. They're like, oh, well, she got her sex changed, so it sounds like she's a girl now, and it sounds like they're in a straight marriage because she's married to a man. Mm-hmm. You know, she agrees with him. And you know, on one hand, this does portray that she is a woman, even though they didn't see her that way before, you know, and that also still perpetuates the whole idea that gender is defined by genitals and that trans women are only women after surgery. Like, no, she didn't become a woman after her surgery. She was a woman before.
Yeah.
Already.
Totally. Cool. That's so great. So what was the name of that series?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. There's like so many shows I have to add to my Netflix queue just from all of your research.
Yeah. Now that show is actually on Hulu. So if you have Hulu, you can look for it on there.
Okay, on Hulu.
Yeah.
I don't have Hulu, but you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got both Hulu and Netflix. So I'm like, I'm set, you know.
You're good. Yeah, you're good to get right. Good for a pandemic.
Right.
This is actually you know what, Nicolette? This is all great stuff for a pandemic because it's like everybody's stuck, they're inside, they're listening to the radio, and if you're listening to the radio, here's some like stuff you could watch, you know, when you're stuck at home. Transgender representation in the media.
Mm-hmm. Family Guy is an animated comedy notorious for being transphobic all the time. This show has multiple episodes featuring the trans character Ida, and in her first episode, her son Glenn is understanding of her identity and her transition, but like Glenn's friends assume that Ida must be a gay man, which, you know, perpetuates the whole myth that trans women are really gay men, but ignores that some trans women are attracted to women. Yes.
No,
lesbians are a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a. I don't know if you heard the show we did. We did a show a couple of shows back, and we talked about that so much. Like, you know, the way in which like a lot. I mean, a lot of trans women like people think they're gay. Like, why can't you just be gay? You know, and it's like, you just don't get it. We're not gay. I mean. A lot of us, I mean, many of us we're attracted to women and to men for one thing. So there might be a transgender woman who was attracted to women before she transitioned and attracted to women after she transitioned. And that's actually very, very common.
It is very common.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not a big, but it's so funny because you said her name was Ida, and that just reminded me of this. There's this commune that I love to go to. Well, I used to go to when I lived in Tennessee, and it was called Ida. And it's this fairy commune. It's this place that's for, it's just, it's a queer place. It's for all kinds of queer people. And that was like a sanctuary for trans and non-binary folks going way back to the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was just so great. It just reminds me of like, you know, queer anarchists who live in the woods of Tennessee and they live on Ida. And then they have this great festival, or they used to anyways. They used to have this festival every year called Ida Palooza, where they bring in queer and trans and non-binary acts to perform. And it was really fun. I don't know if it's still going on, but when it was great. And it was all at this really great commune called Ida that I just love. So.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
One of the main characters on the show, he's in fact played by Seth MacFarlane himself. His name's Brian. He's originally attracted to Ida until he finds out she's trans, leading him to just feel disgusted because he's actually transphobic, and he starts saying a bunch of transphobic things to and about Ida throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
But then in a later episode, Brian decides to try actually dating Ida, but he's embarrassed to be seen in public with her because he still sees dating a trans woman as taboo. And his family even refers to sex with her as gross, you know, same problem as, you know, Always Sunny. In later episodes, especially one in particular that also features Ida, the show implies that trans people receive special treatment.
Yeah.
Which, you know, gaslights the actual oppression of trans people. We don't get special treatment. We sometimes get equity because we're treated so badly most of the time.
Yeah, I don't really know of any transgender people who got special treatment.
Get special treatment.
I definitely want to like go to that country though. So
right.
If you all hear about a country or a state or even like an autonomous zone where transgender people and non-binary people get special treatment, please write to us at transpositivepdx@gmail.com and we will be sure
Let us know. Because, getting equity to try and make up for being treated badly by society as a whole is not special treatment.
No.
It's an attempt to try and fix the wrongs that it can only do so much to help, you know. It doesn't even really help that much, honestly. But Ida tries to fix this by explaining to Peter, who's the main character pretending to be trans to try and receive special treatment. She explains to him that being trans is a lifelong struggle that he'll never understand. Which, you know, I like that, but the only problem with this monologue, I think, is it ignores that some trans people don't figure out they're trans or come out as trans until later in life. And so I think that's also another thing we need to consider. But yes, I agree, it is a lifelong struggle that cis people are never going to be able to fully understand.
Although it's also, I feel like it's not necessarily a struggle or something that's difficult. I mean, being transgender can also be just really fabulous. Just very empowering. I mean, I don't feel like being transgender is a burden. And I know a lot of transgender people who just feel really empowered by being transgender. So
and
it's
I think
not
there
always
is,
that way.
Yeah, and it is, I think, in a way, definitely empowering. But I guess the struggle is not necessarily in how you see yourself. I know a lot of us have dysphoria. I have dysphoria. Not all of us do. But I think the biggest struggle really is how society treats us. Because, you know, they tend to be, a lot of people tend to be so, so horrible to us. And we are starting to get more support and more allies these days. But we still have a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean, there's like so many people where if I told them I was transgender, I would just really be in danger. I mean, if like people can read me, then they can read me. And it's like, then I know I'm fine. But it's like most people can't read me. And if I told them, that it would be dangerous for me. So I don't tell them.
And sometimes, you know, we really have to go stealth in order to be safe. Another animated comedy that has a long history of transphobia is South Park.
Oh yeah, and South Park. Yeah, totally does.
Yeah,
South Park is South just Park. So, it's just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this show had one of the main characters named Mr. Garrison.
Yes, Mr. Garrison. Mrs. Yes. Garrison.
Mrs. Garrison for a while. Because for, I think it might have been like a season or two, she transitioned into a trans woman.
Yeah.
During this time, you know, she was correctly gendered and was viewed by everyone as a woman. Like, nobody misgendered her once. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
She ended up transitioning back to a man because she felt that if she couldn't bear children, then she could never be a real woman. Right. And that's another myth perpetuated by many transphobes, is that, oh, you're not a real woman because you can't bear children. There are lots of cis women who can't bear children. That right. makes no sense.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, at South Park, so, you know, if... I mean, if they're talking about it, they're making fun of it. And, you know, I mean, South Park can be very cruel. But, you know, that storyline there with Mrs. Garrison was... It was interesting that you mentioned that she transitioned back, because that's called detransitioning, and it's actually a thing. And it's like, yeah. A lot of people don't understand that it's something that really does happen. I mean, for instance, here in Oregon, it happened to Jamie Shoup, who we actually almost had on Trans Positive. And Jamie Shoup was the first person to get a non-binary marker on their driver's license. And they were a non-binary person who had been in the U.S. military. And but then Jamie Shoup reverted detransitioned from all of it, and was in this, like, there was like this New York Times article with him, and then he was like on all these right-wing talk radio shows just completely bashing transgender people and using all of the really gross things that, you know, folks say about us. And really, he really did a lot of damage. I mean, he really did a lot of damage to the community.
And, exactly.
You know, and that's called detransitioning.
Yeah, and I'm aware it is a thing, but it's a lot less common than people seem to realize. And yet, I still keep seeing so many transphobes like bring up fake statistics and say like, oh, most trans people who transition end up detransitioning. I'm like, no, it's a very rare thing. It does occasionally happen, but that doesn't mean that, you know, people can't transition, like they don't know what gender they are. It's just for many, many reasons, people decide to go back to presenting as their assigned sex.
Right.
And, you know, they should have that option. That's okay.
Yeah. But there's no judgment anywhere. No judgment. Unless they're judging us. Like, that's what Jamie Shoup did. Like, Jamie Shoup, like, so I can totally judge Jamie Shoup because he, you know, decided that we were, you know, he just said a lot of really ugly things that, like, you know, really just feed people stereotypes about us. And he did it under the pretext of insider information.
Right. So. And that, I agree, is absolutely not okay.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, South Park.
South Park. Yeah, this same episode also had a parallel storyline involving the characters Kyle and Gerald receiving surgeries to turn them into a black man and a dolphin, respectively.
The dad wanted to become a dolphin. That's
right. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like apparently teaching that physically transitioning still can't allow someone to, quote, become something they're not. It's delegitimizing trans people. Like, that's not what's going on here. You know, someone's race or someone's species, that's not a social
it's not the same thing.
Gender's a social construct, and that's why we can live.
This is why we
identify as.
This is just South Park. It's just
anyways.
Not like revolutionary radical for trans folks. Definitely not.
Later, South Park also had an episode that appeared to almost legitimize trans people, except that it featured a person who only presents as a woman because they prefer the women's bathroom at work over the men's bathroom.
Well, I can totally understand that. So, yeah.
I mean, I can definitely understand that. Yeah, it's just like, that makes it...
Yes.
That makes it look like, you know, trans women are just trying, or just men trying to use the women's bathroom, which a lot of transphobes have that fear, and like, that's not what's going on. That's seriously not what's going on.
Although I've seen some nasty women's bathrooms, so.
Oh, that's true. I have too.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. But perhaps their most transphobic episode was a recent one, like within the past year, that claimed to show nuance to the conversation about gender, but lacked any actual nuance whatsoever, and instead continued to paint trans people, in particular trans athletes, in a negative light. So this episode featured an overly masculine male character parading as a trans woman in order to compete against his ex-girlfriend in an athletic competition as revenge. Which is adding to the myth
that's so insulting.
That is so insulting. Yeah. And you know,
the only thing I'd say about South Park is they insult everyone. So it's like,
that is true.
It doesn't mean that they're any good. It just means they insult everyone. So
yeah, and it's just that these jokes of theirs are perpetuating so much negative stigma that we're already dealing with.
I mean, going back, I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but we did a show about a year back, and it was based on this, I'd heard this interview in like Science Magazine with this scientist who I guess lives in Portland. I don't know if she's still in Portland, but she actually wrote an article about this, and it was based on her research on how does hormone therapy affect trans women, you know, initially and then like over several years into transition, like what does it really, how does it really affect their performance? And she wrote an article in a Science magazine that was published and, you know, actually got picked up a lot of places. And so we had her on Transpositive. And what I remember her saying that really stuck out to me was that in some ways, like especially with trans women, there's some kinds of muscle that like definitely loses strength, but not necessarily loses mass. So, you know, there's the, I mean, that's why like a woman who was maybe a bodybuilder before she transitioned might still have certain kinds of physique that had to do with, you know, muscle mass that, you know, is, it's kind of like the voice. I mean, there's some things that don't necessarily change so easily. So anyways, it's the point is just that it's a complicated issue, and it's not that, I mean, it's a complicated issue, it really is. I mean, there's definitely some things that like are things that like people do need to consider, you know, maybe not necessarily from the area of like, maybe not necessarily from the perspective of like giving somebody the authentic identity to experience their gender as in the sport of their choosing, but more from the perspective of like thinking about what's best for everyone, you know.
Right.
And that mainly to that may actually crack it open to a different set of ideas about what constitutes even just athletics generally. Because you know, when you really think about it, when you really start to go into it, like, because this is what happens when you start to deconstruct gender, then you start asking questions about, well, what is it that we're looking for in sports anyways? I mean, like, we're looking for what, the tallest, the strongest, the fastest, you know, but what about like all the different kinds of bodies that there are? And there's bodies that are equally as impressive and as athletic and as capable as other bodies, but they're just maybe smaller or taller, or, you know, maybe they have more mass or whatever, but, or even they're differently abled. But they're all like completely legitimate expressions of body. And you know, this question, this discussion really like starts to get into that, which, you know, I think that people who are afraid of this discussion are very critical of. You know, part of their whether they're so critical of it is because they want the world to be this really simple framework that like feels comfortable to them. And they can't imagine like any other set of circumstances other than the one that they imagine, which is about who's the strongest, who's the tallest, who's the fastest, you know.
Yeah. And I get that, you know, it is a complicated issue, and I get that's what South Park was going for in their message behind this episode, but there's so many problems in the way that they went about it. Because, you know, it's again perpetuating that whole myth that trans women athletes are only competing in the women's division so they can be women and not because they actually are women. In this particular episode, this trans athlete character physically harms women in the competition. So, you know, that's adding to that whole myth that cis women should be afraid of trans women, when in reality, trans women are in just as much danger of being assaulted by men as cis women are, possibly more.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote-unquote trans athlete, huh?
Much more.
Yeah, much more, I think. You know, at least as much, if not more. This quote-unquote trans athlete later changes his stance when he loses a competition while competing as a girl, and having him compete as a girl is unfair when he was raised as a boy, you know. So it just depends on, you know, however he can win at the time. It's South Park appears to try and make up for this by explaining that this character is not an actual trans woman, but instead a man who hates both women and trans people, and is, you know, just parading as a trans woman in order to, you know, get back at his ex-girlfriend and beat up women because that's what he likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this still sends the message that some trans women are really men pretending to be trans to exploit women, and you know, that's just not the case. And there's already so many trans people, you know, dealing with people trying to invalidate them and delegitimize them. It's not anyone's place to decide who is or isn't really trans,
right?
And, you know, it's like the show claims that the discussion of trans athletes requires nuance because some trans women go through male puberty, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily alter the body as much as the show claims, and trans athletes are still required to meet certain hormone levels in order to compete anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's South Park is just beyond, you know, it's just beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess now this brings the discussion to what can be done to ensure that transgender representation in the media improves. So my notes were, perhaps the biggest improvement would be to have trans characters in fictional scenarios involving trans issues written by actual trans people, like, you know, the Wachowski writing Sense8.
Would be interesting. Yeah. Could you repeat that again? So it's have trans people write trans fiction?
Yeah, have trans characters and fictional scenarios involving trans issues written by trans people.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What would that look like?
Yeah, like I said, that's what happened with, you know, the Wachowskis writing Sense8.
They wrote this
great trans character played by a trans actress that, you know, was just portrayed so, so well, and that's because, you know, she was written by actual trans women.
Yeah.
Trans
people trying to get a job.
Yeah.
Trans people trying to get a date.
We need more of that in media.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's very important to not use trans people as a joke in comedies.
No. You know, I think Transparent actually did a pretty good job of showing a lot of that.
I really got to check out that show. I know I've seen so many people talk about it, but I still haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
So that's another one to add to my list. I also put that trans characters should be portrayed as normalized, relatable, and admirable. You know, the kinds of characters that people see that show that, you know, we're normal people just like everyone else, and a lot of us are really good people. You know, we shouldn't be portrayed in a negative light.
We're fabulous.
We're fabulous, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it may also help to increase non-binary representation if more non-binary characters are written.
Oh, definitely.
We don't see a whole lot of non-binary characters.
Yeah, no, that's a whole, yeah, that's a whole thing. It's like people just don't even get it yet, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, so many people try and tell me that I don't exist just because I'm non-binary. Is, you know, it has to do with the fact that they don't see a whole lot of non-binary people. If they see us more, then maybe they'll understand that we are real.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's a whole issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people are non-binary. I mean, there's just, it's
like
just,
people try and claim that it's a rare thing. It's really not that rare.
No, oh my gosh. More and more no. That there are, so many people are non-binary.
Yeah, we're more common than was previously thought.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there's more non-binary people than transgender people.
Well, some of us do identify as trans, but
right,
yeah,
and some do identify.
There very well could be more non-binary people than like binary trans people.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Nicole.
Yes. also, it may. I think it does help to cast more trans actors when possible, both as trans characters and as cis characters. I think that is so cool that, you know, we're now having trans characters.
Yeah, you had at least two examples of that in your
both on American Horror Story.
Yeah.
So
I mean, why wouldn't a trans person be good at playing a cis person? Because I mean, so much of what we do is we just want so badly to just be treated like any other person of the gender that we identify as. So it's like,
yeah, and so I think that is so helpful for that. You know, when American Horror Story has Chaz Bono playing a cis man, it shows that trans men are men. And when they've got Angelica Ross playing a cis woman, it shows that trans women are women. That's what we need to see more of.
Yeah, totally. Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of trans media would you like to see, Nicolette? Like, what have you not seen that you would like to see on television?
The biggest thing I would like to see is more non-binary characters.
Yeah.
And I also would definitely like to see, you know, shows where a trans character is just like a normal character and their transness is not made a big thing. Like, I think I talked about this on the last show where, like, there's an anime that my partner and I are watching right now that had this, unfortunately she's a villain character, but she's, her character, she is trans, but it's not even brought up very much. Like, the only maybe couple times it's brought up is when someone misgenders her and then her friends immediately correct them, and like, that's it. Other than that, the fact that she's trans is just like not even brought up. She's just a character who just happens to be trans. And I think that is so cool. I would like to see more of that, just characters who just happen to be trans and it's not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was also getting to even if, you know, in situations where casting a trans actor to play a trans character is not possible and you need to cast a cis actor, the actor cast should be the same gender as the identified gender of the trans character, not their assigned sex. Like, cis women should not play trans men and cis men should not play trans women, so as to stop spreading this whole idea that trans people are their assigned sex instead of their identified gender.
Right.
So, and you know, I think I should note that representation alone is not enough to advance the equality of trans people, but it does help to educate the public if it's done properly. And it also paves the way for trans actors and actresses to speak for their causes to audiences that might not hear them otherwise. Like, many trans actresses like Laverne Cox and Angelica Ross also use their platforms to advocate for political causes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so with these movements and awareness and education about trans people and trans issues, society may begin to slowly change its views on trans people, but it will be a long and gradual process, like it's been with the gay community, and they still have a long way to go too. I should say we, really, because I'm kind of gay. Yeah. In the meantime, though, I mean, so, you know, and I'm pansexual. I'm somewhere under the gay umbrella.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I was getting at is, you know, the LGBT plus community as a whole, we still got a long way to go. And
right,
we got to be patient with this process. And I know that in the meantime, the increase in anti-trans violence may almost deter the increase in representation, but it's important to not withdraw. It's important to not give up. The key is not just more representation, but better representation.
Yeah, totally.
So that's my entire paper.
Wow, that was amazing, Nicolette. That's so cool. Yeah, no, it's true. Better representation. You know, it's there's just so many issues that you brought up in your paper. I mean, I feel like almost everything ever since the 80s has been moving towards getting better and better, except for South Park. I mean, South Park is just like, it's just so problematic. It's just...
Right. Oh, we're trying to get better at speaking about trans issues, except they're actually getting worse.
But besides that, I mean, it seems like it's gotten more sensitive, more, you know, just more curious and representative and detailed about trans characters. Because, you know, it's like, I feel like every time that we do a new show that features a trans or a non-binary character, we're really creating new cultural space. So we're creating space that didn't really exist before, that, I mean, in terms of representation in the media, you know, it's almost always new. So, and it's getting to a point where, you know, there's more and more detail that can be added because audiences are getting more educated and they understand more about, you know, transgendered bodies and transgender experiences enough to where they can begin to differentiate for themselves different kinds of narratives that we experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, I think that that helps to really grow the narratives because, I mean, when you think about it, when you're watching a movie or a television, in some ways it's a very passive act. I mean, you're sort of receiving the input of what's being produced for you. But on the other hand, it's very active and engaged because you're only going to watch and engage with something that you can understand. And as people get exposed more and more to transgender and non-binary characters, their understanding and their tolerance kind of grows to where they can begin to understand different kinds of narratives. They can make, you know, they can make the intuitive leap to understand there's trans women and there's trans men. And then there's, you know, gender fluid people and, you know, they're non-binary people. And, you know, they begin to learn about this. It's not just some kind of an other, but it's actually something that they have empathy for. So, I don't know. It's great. I feel like your paper was very optimistic and kind of forward looking.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the way I like to see it. You know, I was just kind of analyzing the good things and bad things in the representation that we're seeing lately.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't quite cover everything, but, you know, I researched as much as I could for it. And unfortunately, I had a couple typos, as I now see. But other than that, you know, I...
I tried
to give the best analysis I could of.
So, of all those shows, which one was your, did you have one that was a favorite? Something that, you know.
Oh, one that was a favorite. Good question.
I mean, you talked about a lot.
Yeah, I talked about a lot. I still need to catch up on Supergirl because I haven't even gotten to the season with this trans character yet. Like I said, I just kind of had to go off of my research and what my partner told me about it because they've watched that season, but I have not.
It seems like you like Boys Don't Cry, but I don't know.
No, I haven't seen Boys Don't Cry, but I was critical of the fact that Hilary Swank, who is a cis woman, played a trans man. Right. I don't think that was the right choice. I think that this character should have been played by a man.
Yeah.
The Danish girl, I had mixed feelings about. I think they did a lot of things wrong, but also some things right.
Yeah.
Trans America, I thought was really good.
Right.
Now, that's a movie, not a show, but Trans America, I thought they did really, really well with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sense8, I also thought, as far as the show goes, they did a really good job with Sense8. And like I said, that was written by the Wachowski sisters who are trans. And I think that that's a big part of why that trans character was written and portrayed so well.
Yeah. What do you think about Transparent? Do you think Transparent is, you know, part of that group of, you know, sort of influential transgender folks represented in the media, or is it too problematic?
So like I said, I haven't seen Transparent. I can't give a whole lot of input on it. I also, you know, I was already researching so much for this paper, I didn't have a chance to research. But you know, that is one I want to look into, because I've seen a lot of people talking about it, and I've seen a lot of people responding positively to it. So I do want to see what exactly is going on with that show, and then I can give more of an opinion on it.
I mean, it's just, it's really interesting, because it's like Jill Soloway really went out of their way on Transparent to like really scrutinize and get into the details of all kinds of trans narratives all happening all at once. And you know, Jill Soloway also kind of really understood that it was important to really take in the community's voice. And so there's so many separate episodes in Transparent that you know, were really about questions, like really examining the role that race plays within trans communities, racism, and like the unwillingness of like transgender white people to, you know, really examine their privilege and to understand that, you know, there's maybe some things they don't quite understand yet that like they still need to examine. Maybe they have some racist tendencies. It got into that in the episode with where the main character had to go to a hospital and wasn't able to go to like her regular hospital, so she ended up at like some public hospital, and she met some like, you know, Hispanic trans women, and it was so interesting. I remember that kind of discussion, and how like there are so many discussions like that in Transparent, you know, that really kind of got into like the details of different kinds of experiences. Because I mean, Jill Soloway represented everyone. I mean, Jill was representing trans masculine, you know, old school butch dyke lesbian, you know, gender queer, you know, just everything. I mean, Jill was really trying to get into all of those, and it's really too bad that it, you know, it had to end the way that it did, because it kind of stained the show in a way. I mean, for some people it's already problematic because it was, you know, just because of some of the subject matter, but it's also a show that just really went out of its way to detail and analyze like so many different storylines within the trans community. And I really hope that those continue to be picked up and played with, because, you know, there are stories. I mean, everything that we've ever talked about on Trans Positive that we can get people on to talk about, we do. And right. The stories are all our stories, you know. I mean, you could be any number of kinds of trans or non-binary people. You could be in any different kind of relationship with other people, you know, who you might also have talked about on the show. You might be raising children, you might not, you know, you might be homeless, I mean, you might need medical. I mean, there's so many ways in which these stories, you might be really rich, you know, you might be really poor like most of us. And all of these are like our stories. I mean, our stories are really interesting. If you really listen to our stories, I mean, there's so much drama in them and so much courage.
Yeah.
A lot of what you talked about was kind of representing that, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad that, you know, shows like Transparent are having those kinds of discussions. That's really when I'll have to check out now, then.
It'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, because like in my queer studies class that I wrote this paper for, like, you know, we talked a lot about how transphobia and queerphobia in general has a lot of inherent intersection with racism, homophobia, racism, ableism, classism, you know, things like that. There's just so much intersection between every type of oppression there is, pretty much.
Yeah. Although you could be transgender and still be, you know, a homophobic, racist, misogynistic, you know.
More so in the way of, like, you know, you can experience intersection classist. With, like, being trans and being disabled, for example, like in my case.
Sure. You know. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and there's definitely lots of that too. I mean, there's a lot of that in the trans community. It's like those unacknowledged, I mean, intersectional points of identity that the community needs to really, you know, and we're more aware of it. I think we have a heightened awareness because when you experience one kind of oppression, you have a sensitivity and an awareness for other kinds of oppression because you you know, you already have some skill at being a person with a body that's considered different and unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight we've been talking, Nicolette and I, Emma, have been talking about trans representation in the media. And we're just about at the end of our show, Nicolette. We're just right near the end. Is there anything else you wanted to say about trans representation in the media?
I think we've covered a lot. I'm not sure what more there is to say, really. Like I said, I do want to end off on, I do think it is important to keep increasing trans representation, but also, you know, improve trans representation and, you know, better portray trans people and trans issues, not just portray them more.
Right. Yeah. Who knows what it'll look like in the future? You know, I mean, it'll continue to improve until the fascists take over. When the fascists take over, then they'll kill all of us. And then, you know, our great, great, great grandchildren will spring up from the earth and start all over again. So that's usually how it works.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't happen again, but let's just keep on making great transgender media as long as we can, you know. So thank you so much, Nicolette. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. This has been a great discussion and I'm glad I got to share this.
Yeah, thanks. So again, you're listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. We're recording here at home because of COVID-19. We can't get into the studio, but we will be back in 2 weeks with another show topic. And in the meantime, have a great evening, everyone, and thanks so much for listening.
Have a great night, everyone. Thank you.
On 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.